88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
So when God sees, when He sees His people living beneath their ability, God is so much of a God that God sends judgment. But thanks be to God, He has not sent a wrath. Because if the truth be told, I had the list. The way we living, the way we worshiping, the way we're thinking, the way we're talking, God has a right to wipe this whole room out. He can come in right now and He will be righteous in doing so to wipe this whole room out. Because how dare we come into His house, His sacred space, like it don't matter. How dare we come into His sacred space with our chest all out, our head all back, our arms all folded, like He ain't been good to you, like He ain't taken care of you, like He ain't made a way for you.
Yes, Lord.
So God has something to say. To His people. And the problem is, they're so rebellious, they don't want to hear what He's got to say. People of Israel have gone rebellious and stale and stagnant at the time of our text. They're even in the tabernacle, but their tabernacle worship and sacrifices are empty. Because they're going through the sacrifices just because it's on the program. They're doing what they're supposed to do, but not doing it because they want to. Their heart is not in it. Their passion is not in it. They're just in the tabernacle, in the sanctuary, because it's Sunday. And they're off, and they normally there on Sunday, so they may well go and go through the motions. They don't feel like praising today. They don't feel like giving God glory today. They're going to give God what they got left. They're not going to give God the first. They're not going to give God the best. They're not going to give Him something that's pure because they really just don't care that much. And because God has been so gracious, they think God doesn't see it. The people, the church, the people of God in Israel think that it's okay to just fake and front and stunt and go through the motions and half do and half worship, half praise, half preach, half minister because they think because God ain't got them yet, they feel like God ain't gonna get them. So it's okay to do anything. It's okay to be quiet. It's okay to shut up. It's okay to lock up. It's okay to not even come. It's okay to stay away. It's okay to just look around. It's just okay because God hadn't done anything yet. God says, even in this passage, you read chapters 1 through 5, it's all about the judgment of Israel. Isaiah prophesies and talks and gives the judgment from God, not from Isaiah, about what God sees. Says He sees them in their worship, going through the motions, not being sincere, just doing it because they on the roll, just doing it because they were elected to, doing it because they're expected to, but not doing it because it comes from a sincere, pure heart. He also said that the women, read it, I ain't making it up, the women are so focused. I'm going to get in trouble. The women who are supposed to be sincere, they're supposed to be docile. They're supposed to be kind of background. But he said the women have, it's gotten so crazy in Judah that the women are so focused on being pretty. Read it. Read chapter 5. Chapter 5, Isaiah tell you, they got all these earrings on and they got their hair all fixed and they looking good and they're empty vessels because they're too cute to be what God called them to be. They're too beautiful to be blessed. They're too alluring to be anointed. And the men are just letting it go. The men are not taking a stand. The men are not in their position. The men are not praying. The men are not giving God the best. So Judah is in trouble. So much so that he calls them fruitless.
My God.
He said that you're producing fruit. He said, but when I check the fruit, God says, I'm talking about Israel. I ain't talking about nobody. I'm just talking about Israel. He says when he picks the fruit, it's bitter. It's sour. Now, looking at it, you would think it's sweet. Looking at it, you would think it's delicious. Looking at it, you would think it's productive. But the Lord said when I tasted it, it was sour and it was bitter. Because at the root of it was mess. At the root of it was faithlessness. At the root of it was selfishness. At the root of it was bitterness. At the root of it was thinking about you. So he said, when I taste it, it's bitter. So God says, I want to send a prophecy because my people done got away from me. So Isaiah, I want to send you to give them a word so that they can come back to me. Because I'm about to send something that's going to let them think they getting what they want. But if they do it right, as they go through, they'll really want to come back to me. Because right now, I'm just too good. And I'm so much God, I'm not going to go against my word and not take care of them. Because I'm so much God. But God said, Isaiah, I'm tired of them. Isaiah, I had enough of this. Isaiah, good as I've been. So I want you to give them my word so that they'll come back to me. Give them this warning. And so these first five chapters, Isaiah is giving the prophecy. But y'all know human, right? Y'all know folk. While Isaiah is giving his prophecy, the folk stop listening to the prophecy and start dealing with the prophet. Try again. Chapters 1 through 5. Isaiah gives the prophecy that God told him to give. It's what God sees. It's what God looks at. It's what God cares about. But instead of the people, because they're so rebellious and because they're so far from God, they are now attacking the prophet and won't deal with the prophecy. So tucked away after chapter 5, Isaiah says, oh, y'all keep acting like, I ain't had to go through this too. Isaiah said, I had to go through my own experience to be able to talk to y'all. So he gives them some background onto how he came to the place to be able to give them the truth. You with me? Verse number 1, he says, in the year King Uzziah died, if we're going to get back to God, Isaiah uses his life and his experience to help tell other folk how to get back to God. Now, the problem is you ain't got to listen to it. You can ignore it. You can keep paying, acting like God ain't talking to you. You know what, give me peace today? Because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the people of God at the New Zion Missionary Baptist Church, you get the word from God. So if you are going to live in hell and you're going to live stupid, it's because you want to. But don't act like and sit there like God don't give you a word day in and day out. So I'm going to tell you today. So I'm going to just tell you this. Ham and the church and people won't send you to hell. If you go to hell, it's because you chose to go to hell because there's too much word going forth for you to keep living. So if you want to get back to God, because see, today by now, your spirit should be pricked. Just by this introduction, you ought to feel something in your soul that lets you think about yourself and say, wait a minute, I am kind of far from God. Maybe it wasn't them. Maybe it's me. Maybe I done got caught up on other stuff that don't matter. And my problem is I'm far from God. It's one of two ways you go with this. You either go look at yourself or you go blame the preacher. So, if you want to get back to God, I want to talk to y'all. Those of you who are sincere and you know within your spirit, my problem is I done got far from God. And he says, if you want to get back to me, it begins with this. Number one, upward reverence. Upward reverence. In the year, King Uzziah died, 740 B.C. I saw also, missed it. In the year, King Uzziah died. I saw also. the Lord. I'm going to try that one more time. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. The same year Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Two kings, one set of eyes. Which king are you looking at? Let me unpack that. Because Uzziah, also known as Azariah, was a great king. He was a great king politically, great king economically. And one of his problems was he hung around a long time. 52 years he reigned, and the people of Judah loved him because he brought about prosperity. He brought about growth. He improved their way of living, but he made a colossal mistake. He rebelled and disobeyed God and tried to offer sacrifices like he's a priest. And you just cause you a king don't make you a priest. There are some things only God's folk can do. And if God didn't tell you to do it, I don't care how much power you got. I don't care how much money you got. If that's not your area in God, you better not touch it. Uh-huh. But the people loved Uzziah so much. Even Isaiah. Isaiah, early in his prophecy, he came and served under Uzziah. He loved Uzziah. He had an affinity for Uzziah. He was Uzziah's boy. And Uzziah was such a nice guy, but he was living in disobedience. Uzziah is so handsome, but he don't love God right. Uzziah is such a beautiful woman, but don't love God right. Uzziah gave you a good 401k, but they always want you to work on days you got to worship. It's the total Uzziah. And so because he disobeyed God, he was struck with leprosy. Leprosy shows you that normally when you are one's a leper, you committed a sin that gets you ostracized. And Uzziah died as a leper. Now here's the problem. It's the same year. Uzziah dies. God still reigns. I'm going to try that now, okay? So now, some people are so hung up on what God has fired that you can't walk in what God has new. Because some people are hung up on people and not hung up on God. Look what Isaiah said. He said, first of all, for me to get back to God, I had to take my eyes off what's going on around me. Because the people of God are living in confusion. They're living in rebellion. They're living in disobedience. They're just doing what they want to do. They're calling right wrong, and they're calling wrong right. And Isaiah could be affected by what he sees. So now here's the difference for us. You and I are challenged today to stop with the outlook and live with an uplook. Okay, let me try that again. Oftentimes, your outlook is going to be better when you start with an uplook.
That's good. That's
but stop
good.
Making an uplook be based on your outlook and make your outlook be based on your uplook. I will lift up mine eye unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. But the problem with us is we want God to see what we're looking at. You still looking at your problem and you ain't looking at him. You still looking at your sickness and you ain't looking at him. You still looking at your job and you ain't looking at him. You still looking at them and ain't looking at him. You still looking at that and ain't looking at him. You came to church this morning and you didn't look at him. You start looking at that. Who ain't here and who's singing today and who preaching today? And you start looking at who got on something. And you look at, you got an outlook, but you don't have an uplook. And God's challenge to us today is change your uplook. And when you change your uplook, it'll change your own outlook. Isaiah says, I stopped looking at. And I came and I started looking up. And when I start looking up, I don't look at. And some of the stuff going on at don't affect me when I change my focus on what's up. You wonder why people, you see, trying to set them up and dig ditches and stab them in the back, and you see why they keep on treating you right and keep on loving you. It's because they ain't looking at you. They looking up to him. And they keep looking up to him, he gonna handle what's going on at me. Yeah. Because he said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And see, I got to know that, so I keep looking up to him. Problem with most of us, we keep looking at. So you don't have excitement today because you're looking at your problem. I can tell the way you came in today. You ain't come, because if you came looking up, you'd have been shouting. If you came looking up, you'd have been giving glory. If you came looking up, because when you see him, you see things different. Can I help you real quick? Has anybody, don't do this too long, but I challenge you to do something for 5 seconds. On a pretty day like today, look up at the sun. Look up at the sun by 5 seconds, and then look at everything else. At some point, when you looked at something bright, and then you look at everything else, you look from a different perspective. Oh, Lord. See, if you just keep looking to the Lord, some of this stuff won't be what it is. I don't even see you because I'm living and walking in the light. I'm looking at who's sleeping with who. Looking at who going there. Looking at who car that is. Looking at who got arrested. Looking at who's something on Facebook. Looking at something on Snapchat. Looking at something on Instagram. And I ain't looked up. I'm going to get in trouble with this. But I came to worship with you. I didn't come to worship for you. Because, see, you ain't saved me. You ain't died for my sins. So I ain't got to be looking at you. And your praise ain't based. My praise ain't based on how you treat me, how you look at me. You can sit there looking crazy. I'm going to preach like this because I know how good God been to me. I don't preach for your amens. I don't preach for your likes. So keep looking crazy. Keep rolling your eyes. But I'm looking up. And the more I look up, he going to take care of the out. In a year, King Uzziah died. Uzziah, who I love so much. Uzziah, who I care so much about. Because Uzziah had to leave his throne. I'm in the text. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting on the throne. Y'all missed your shout. Uzziah had a throne, but it was a temporary throne. But you got a God who's always on the throne, who's never been voted out, who's never been sick, who never slumbers nor sleep. Don't it serve reason today to depend your trust and depend your life on a king who never leaves his throne?
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Here it is. I say it's an upward reverence. It's not just looking up. Watch this. Because if God's going to be God in your life, and God's going to come, you're going to get back to God. Y'all ready? God, not only you got to be looking up to God, but you got to start lifting God. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw. That's what this Bible say, don't it? All men unto me. Do you know what's wrong with the church? God ain't been lifted. Your agenda has. You're lifting people. You're lifting personalities. You're lifting pastors. You're lifting agendas. You're lifting your way. You're lifting your song. You're lifting your outlook. You're lifting your uniform. You're lifting your way, but you ain't lifting him. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. Your question is, who lifted him up? And the answer is, the worship lifts him up. You missed it. I know you missed it. Because most of our efforts lifts us. See, when you lift the Lord, you make him bigger. You make him bigger than everything. See, when the Lord is lifted, you go see him. You go hear him. You go pay attention to him. But when you keep not lifting him, you go lift something else. Now, here it is, y'all. Y'all ready for this? Here, y'all ready for this? Y'all ready for this? Real quick, I'm going to tell you this. You go show where your heart is by how you worship it. And watch this. I'm going to shout myself crazy. You watch what you worship. That's how come you can go to work and work hard and do all the right things, because that's most important. That's how come you can buy flowers and candy and cook and mow and all that for her, because that's who you worship. That's why you can do all these things for him, because that's who you worship. But what about a God who made her, him, it that possible for you? When the last time you watched God and kept your eyes focused on God? We watching everything, because what you're watching, you're worshiping. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw. I chose to look. I'm stopped looking at Uzziah. I stop looking at these people. I stop looking at these conditions, and I say, no matter what I'm dealing with, I'm going to keep on looking to the Lord. I don't just look at God when it's going well.
That's good. That's good.
I look to God when my life is in shambles.
Amen.
So you and I don't have an excuse today to come in because you're going through something.
That's right.
Because he promised you that he would be with you in the valley.
Amen.
So ain't no excuse for you to come in here and not give him your
yes,
best.
Yes,
there's
Lord.
No excuse not to honor him every day
yes,
of your
Lord.
Life, because no matter what your circumstance, he's still on the throne if you're lifting him right. If you're lifting him right, he's still on the throne.
Amen.
But we've left him. So I start lifting other stuff. And when you lift something else, you're making that be bigger than God. But when you lift God, look what happened. His train. Fills the temple. When you lift him, you see the benefits of lifting him. His train, his robe, his presence fills the temple when he's lifted. What happens when you keep lifting yourself and you ain't got no train? That's why it's empty worship, because we're not lifting him, we're lifting ourselves. Oh, I sounded good. Oh, I preached so good. But I wanted y'all to lift me. Mm-hmm. But I ain't show you him. And when I lift him, his glory will follow. Here it is. And then when I see him right, I start seeing what's going on with him. There's a, watch this, you know what's going on? You know what the problem is? There's a whole worship going on. And watchers ain't looking at the right worship. Because look what you see when you look up to him. Look what's going on perpetually while you're not paying attention. If Isaiah keep looking at Uzziah, he miss out on all this worship for God. If I keep worrying about who left me and what's not right in my life and I don't feel good and they told me I'm sick and oh, I need some money and oh, I wish I had more money. Oh, it's so hot outside. Oh, my air going crazy. Oh, my heat going crazy. And you keep looking at that. Look what you miss out on when you won't look up.
That's good.
And the devil wants you to keep your head down. Because he knows if you lift your head up, you're going to start feeling better. You're going to start getting encouraged, because there's no way you can come in contact with the Most High God and you not feel better. Because you true believers today know that when I worship and worship right, this thing ain't about my situation changing. This thing's about me changing how I look at the situation, so I can go to tomorrow with boldness and courage, because I know my God is too big to let me suffer too long. He's too big to let me go through forever. But if I don't lift up my eyes and I keep my head down and keep looking around in my problems, I'll never look up. So here it is. Look what's going on. As God is being lifted, as the Lord is being lifted on his throne, there are seraphim. Seraphs, these fire-like angelic figures, are above the Lord in this vision Isaiah sees. And Isaiah sees this because he changes his look. Do you see a master of ceremonies yet? See how slow we acting? Do you see anybody have to tell Isaiah to look? chooses to look. And look what he sees. He sees two angelic figures, seraph, meaning the fire. And they've got six wings. Two are covering the eyes. Two are covering the feet. And with the other two, they're just flying around. Covering the eyes and covering the feet symbolizes reverence and worship to God. Because when you come in his in presence, in contact with God, you can't stand to see him. Because his glory is too big. His light is too bright that you just reverence him. And you block out what you think you see. You block out what you think and you submit and surrender to his will. But watch this. They ain't all. They're not just covering their eyes and covering their feet and flapping around with the other wings. They're saying something. And they're saying it to each other. They're going back and forth worshiping. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord of hosts. You missed your shout. Holy, holy, holy. They're going back and forth. They're going back and forth. They're going back and forth. Now watch this, because some of y'all going to miss this. Not holy is me. Holy is he. I wish I had some people who learned that it don't matter how holy you think you are, but you got to learn how to worship and praise the God who is holy. Holy!
Holy!
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Isaiah hears talk that lifts God. Wait till you get it. He hears something, but what he hears lifts God, not him. He hears something. So every song you sing, every word we preach, every word we teach ought to point to his holiness, not your goodness. Oh, yeah. See, part of the reason why we can't get back to God because you think you God. You got people talking to you, holy, holy, holy. The angels ain't talking about you. They talking about him. You just get to be a part of what they're saying about him, so you'll learn that he's holy, even when you're not. See, this is what you missed. This is what you missed. This is what you missed. I was trying to wait, but this is what you missed. God allowed Isaiah to come into this worship moment while being messed up. Okay, see, I'm in the wrong church. He let Isaiah be imperfect and flawed and jacked up and hung up on hang-ups and carnal-minded and selfish and stingy and stubborn, and still let him come into the holiest of holy and hear worship going on. So you mean to tell me that God gives you and I opportunities to come into his holy house, not because of how good you are, but because of how good he is? That means that you don't come to worship just when you've done right.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
That maybe the reason I'm hollering so much is because I know how wrong I've been. Maybe the reason I'm worshiping like I'm worshiping because I see his holiness in spite of, in reflection of my unholiness, and I can't help but give him glory because I know how bad I've been, yet he let me come into his presence. See, part of our problem, you think you've been so good, you deserve his presence. They're saying, holy, 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 holy is he, the Lord of hosts, the one who fights our battle. Isaiah hears them talking about God and not about Isaiah. And watch what happens. Bible says that the doorposts start shaking. Now, this ain't gonna happen at every church because most of our churches, our focus ain't on him. But when he gets the glory, he gets the full glory, something shakes in the room. Now, do you know it's possible? If Isaiah came in flawed and came messed up, the devil might have been present. But when the focus ain't on the devil, but on God, the devil don't even matter because there's too much glory in the room for the devil to be comfortable. Okay, I'm in the text. The text says the post shook and smoke filled the room. I get it right now. I get it because most of us should feel like Isaiah felt. Because look what I'm missing out on by making life be about me. Look what I miss out on when I make my worship, my service, my stewardship be about me. Now, something uncomfortable I got to talk to you about, and I'm going to move on. Last thing I want to tell you, because Isaiah heard them cry out back and forth to each other, the seraphs, because they had some fire. Seraphim mean fiery. Fiery creatures. You missed it. Fiery. There's some fire in the room when God is lifted. You ready for this? Now watch this, because some of you ain't gonna like in the text. This worship moment wasn't quiet. Text tells you they cried out, holy, holy, holy. But most of us, don't take all that. I ain't got to do that. I ain't from daughter hollering. But if you go about two or three blocks over to the Civic Center, and I catch most of y'all on a Saturday evening, you go holler stuff that ain't holy, holy, holy. But something about coming, you know why? Because that artist, they put the focus on them. And because you love them and you paid your money to see them, you do what they tell you
That's
to do.
Good. That's good. That's good.
But God,
good.
Who's taken care of you, who's protected you, who's provided you, who's renewed you, who's restored you, who saved you, who picked you up out of nothing and made you look like somebody, you can't make no noise for him. You can't give him no hallelujah. You can't give him no thank you. You can't give him no I love you. I told you.
Thank you, Lord.
I told you, you will watch who you worship. And every day you ought to be watching how God bless you. You do know it wasn't your alarm clock that woke you up this morning. The Lord just said yes and touched you with another day full of air for this day. You do know it wasn't your goodness that got you another day. You do know that, don't you? That this is the day the Lord has made, and all you had to do is rejoice and be good. You do know you ain't make this day. And holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now, my question to the church, why isn't more glory going forward? It's simply because God is not being reverenced. Because you don't see the glory, you don't see the smoke, you don't hear the glory until he gets lifted. And he can't be lifted if you're not looking at it. That's why church is boring. That's why it's stagnant. That's why you don't get nothing out of it. Because you know why you don't get nothing out of it? Because you don't put nothing in it. You come for him to do all the work. But have you lifted him? You got to hoist. To lift means to hoist. To put him above every other agenda. I'm not interrupting my worship to hear no gossip. I'm not going to the club this time. I need to worship. I feel myself getting far from God. Let me worship my way back to God. Because, see, I can pray for you all day until he's big in your life. I can pray and lay hands and pull all kind of oil on you until you lift it. You will never see the glory. It's an upward reverence, which brings about then an inward reflection. So Isaiah sees this. Isaiah hears this. Isaiah experiences this worship moment, all because he changed his perspective and said, I'm not going to tell God how big my problems are. I'm going to tell my problems how big my God is. And I'm going to change my focus and look to God. And he sees all this glory going on and all this praise. He sees all this wonder just by lifting God. Look what happened. Something you ain't ready for. Isaiah, as he looks to God, he sees himself. Because there's no way you can come to God's presence and not see you. Explain to me, child of God, how when you're in God's presence, you see everybody else. I get mystified by some things I hear, what people will say. How can you be so mean? How can we, good as God be to us, how can we be so low down? And you are the president of the club. It's because when you come to worship, you don't want to see. True worship lets you see how little you deserve his presence. I'm talking about real worship. I ain't talking about having good church. Real worship. And when you really lift God and see how big he is, you can't help but see how small you are.
Look
what Isaiah said. Woe is me. Woe is me. For I am a man of unclean lips. Hanging around people. Y'all missed it. It's an inward reflection. Now, the problem with most of us, I get it. I hear you, Lord. I hear you. Most of us have it inward. We just don't tell folk you convicted. Because you're too prideful to admit, ouch. Because you got people believing you don't make mistakes. You got people really fooled. That you don't sin because you go out of town. Man, I want to free somebody today. Oh, it's me. For I am a man of unclean lips. When the last time you said, Lord, that was for me.
Amen.
Most of us, ooh, I wish Sunset's been here for that one. Ooh, the world's all up in her Kool-Aid. So if God sent it, and you heard it, how would God get the wrong word? woe is me. I'm in your presence. I'm lifting you. And see, problem why people don't look to God, because you know looking to God is going to show you yourself. And that's why many of us don't come to worship. That's why we don't like worship, because when you worship for real, you see yourself. And oftentimes, you don't like what you see. Therefore, I just won't deal with it, so I won't have to address it. So let me take my eyes off the Lord and put it on this. Let me go to the kitchen and start cooking or something. Let me go see if this baby need to go to the bathroom or something. Let me see if I can create something, some kind of distraction or deflection, because I don't like what I see when I deal with me. And I've been doing this so long, I'm not willing to change something. And I don't want them knowing I got them kind of problems. So you'll sit there in the presence of God some days and just cry. You just cry. Because you're in the presence of God, and because God is dealing with you, you start crying. You start shaking your leg all over the place and crying. But you don't want nobody to see that the Lord is dealing with you. Woe is me! Notice this now. Isaiah says this out loud. Now, when I say he said it out loud, y'all got quiet. Beautiful. Beautiful. Woe is me! He said it out loud. I'm messed up. I'm the problem. I've been wrong. Woe is me. Because I'm a man of unclean lips. Watch this. Don't miss this. Don't miss the text. Unclean lips are revelation of an unclean heart. It's not what go in your mouth that defiles a man. Jesus said it's what comes out. So we know where you are by what you say and what you text. Because more ways to communicate now than in this day. We know where you are by what you say and communicate. I've got unclean heart. I've got a heart problem. So he confesses, missed it. He confesses his sinfulness in worship. What better place to get yourself together than in the presence of God? I'm a man of unclean lips, surrounded by people with unclean lips. Do you notice? He doesn't say they are the only ones.
Right.
I don't try to detach myself from sin just because I sin different.
That's good. That's good.
Ooh, I'm so glad I don't do that, but
that's
you do
good.
Something.
Now
don't make me. Now, we've been doing real good. Don't make me. You might not do that, but you do something. If you don't do nothing, you ain't had the opportunity. But you've been thinking it.
That's right. Amen.
I'm going to let y'all alone, man. Y'all.
That's good. Good teaching.
It's an inward reflection. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips, around people, unclean heart, unclean lips. He says, I'm messed up. Because now I've seen the King, the Lord of hosts. I've been in the presence of God, and I see myself because I see him. I'm so in awe because he let me come hang with him, knowing how jacked up I am. I see his majesty. I see his glory. I see his power. And then I see me, and I see how I don't deserve to be in his majesty, his power, and his glory. Woe is me. Because I'm just so amazed that he even deal with me. I understand now I don't even deserve him. Yet he still lets me come close to him. So I'm not going to waste this moment by not asking God to help change me. Do you see? Do you see something interesting in the text? In the text, Isaiah don't just say, I got a problem. He says what his problem is. Yeah. I'll praise by myself on that one. Because we like to just say, I got issues. He says, I'm a man of unclean lips that God wants to make a prophet with these same lips. God wants to use my shortcoming to help bring other folk back to him. But I can't be utilized until I be honest about what's wrong with me. And part of that is not pretending like I ain't messed up. Do you know something? You want to know something? God already knows what's wrong with you. Newsflash. CNN breaking news. The Lord knows. You know the Lord see beneath that shout?
That's right.
Lord be like, you're right. He knows what's going on underneath. He knows the real you. And still rock with you. Y'all missed it, man. That's why I love him, man. Even in my worst condition, he still rock with me. So I don't come approach him like he owe me anything. I owe him everything because he don't have to. Don't you know God got other options besides us? If he got rocks that'll cry out, if he got a donkey that'll talk, you and I somewhere between donkeys and rocks. Keep being quiet. Don't say nothing. He got other options. I'm a man with unclean lips. Yet God's getting ready to use my shortcoming for his upbuilding. What a God who will use what's wrong with me to be right about him. Only God can take your deficiency and make it a plus. He'll use your very struggle to become your testimony for somebody down the road.
Right.
If you're looking for evidence that God will pick you up from nothing and make you something, look at my life. I once was in sin. I once was in darkness. I once was blind. But look at me now. But I can't get there unless I tell the truth about what's wrong with me. Do you want God to help you? Stop coming to look at what's right with you. Stop reading the word to see where you're getting it right.
Right.
Stop reading them commandments like a checklist. Whew, I don't do that. And then skip over the one you're doing. You read that word. Ooh, Lord, ouch. But you pointed me to it for a reason, so I thank you for the word. Give me the strength to overcome it. I'm admitting it. I got a problem with that. Instead of you bypass, because guess what? You can turn back the next day. They were still right there.
Uh-huh.
Whether you ever want to deal with it or not, it's still there. But you can't get help, y'all, till you admit that's my issue. He says if you confess your sin, I'm faithful enough to forgive it. But there can be no forgiveness without confession. There can be no cleansing. Then watch this. He confesses it. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. Then one of those same preachers, I'm sorry, angels, goes to the altar, gets cold with a tongue, places it, watch this, on the problem. He didn't put the coal on his heart because confessing it lets you know your heart getting better. Now, he would need coal on his heart if he gonna sit in God's presence and still not move. Okay, you know what's wrong today? Some of us need some coal on our heart right now. Because ain't no way I ain't been in God's presence all this time and I ain't moved, I ain't lifted my hands, I ain't said thank you. You need some coal on your heart right now. Here it is. that angel, that seraph, I'm sorry, the seraphim takes that coal, puts it on the lips. The same lips, he say, are unclean. Worship brings about a change. Have I mentioned Iyanla? Have I mentioned a 12-step program? I mentioned how worship. Have I mentioned a praise leader? This all is done by your will, submitting to God's will. Okay, I'm in the text. I'm in the text deal. Y'all get mad. I'm a Bible preacher. Having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, he laid it upon my mouth and said, "Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and your iniquity is taken away, your sin." Everybody needs a good altering. But don't come to the ALTAR if you don't want an ALTER. All right? See, Isaiah comes to the altar, but he wants a change. Some of us come down here not for altering, but attention. I'll say it, I'll stand on it. You want everybody to see you. But then we see you next week. Where's the change? How much more coal he got to put on you? Because when God clean you, he says your sin is purged. So now, watch this. Don't just confess. Stay with God for the cleansing. Because just because you confessed it don't mean you clean. Ooh, I feel so much better, but you ain't clean. You might have taken those work clothes off, but until you go take a shower. I'm trying to make this thing plain. You ain't clean yet. So you got to submit yourself to a process that the Lord may cleanse you. Because he can't use you for clean work and you still dirty. You can't have worldly dirt and do kingdom work. I'm out. I just quit. I'm not out of time. I'm not out of message, but I'm out of time. Here it is. It's an upward reverence, inward reflection, then an outward responsibility. You want to get back to God? It's an upward reverence. Take my eyes off us eyes. Put my eyes on him. Now, the more you look at God, give you a warning. You know how some things give you a warning at the bottom? Give you a warning. When you start changing your efforts and your focus, folk will call you funny acting. Folk will say you're acting funny and you think you're all that, you're Jesus Jr. When you start saying, "I ain't got time," you're talking about that, I'm thinking about, I'm in the Lord's presence right now. Whoa! Y'all in the coat up there, huh? Oh, y'all programmed now, huh? Used to be down. Now you want, if the only way we can be cool is by tearing somebody else down, I probably don't want to be cool with you no way.
That's right.
Let me give this pastoral word to all gossip. Learn how to balance the conversations. If you want people to keep talking to you, balance the conversation. I'm trying to help y'all keep some friends to talk to you. Because people finna start waking up, and they finna start leaving you alone, and you gonna start thinking you alone. It ain't that you're alone. People tired of hearing that. Do you know there's more going on in this world than somebody else's business? So I'm trying to help you stay employed. Blend in with some glory. You know, ain't God good? You know, ain't God wonderful? I was blessed by the word. I was blessed by the worship. Don't come straight in. You saw it, huh? You busy? You got me on speakerphone? Learn how to balance it. Okay. Okay, I was trying to help y'all, but y'all don't want to help. That's free right there. I was trying to help you keep people in your life. It's then an outward responsibility. After Isaiah gets clean, the Lord asks a question. Who can I send to tell of my goodness and of others who need to come back to me? Who will go for me? Now watch this. He didn't send him initially. Isaiah, so grateful, send me. I'll go. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Because you do know that who Isaiah saw was Jesus. John 12 points us to that. That who Isaiah actually saw was Jesus. So as I see Jesus, and Jesus is high and lifted up, sounds a whole lot like his ascension at the right hand of God. And when he ascended, he allowed the Holy Spirit to come upon those who would submit to the cleansing. So don't say it's just Old Testament. This is New Testament principles. Because he's at a high place, poured down his spirit for us to be cleansed with. So we can speak in a new tongue. So then he said, who can I send? He said, send me. I'll go. Watch this. But who he's going to is the people he's just like. You remember his confession, don't you? I'm a man with unclean lips hanging around people. So my first assignment is to go tell the very ones I've been talking with and go show them evidence of a changed life. What's wrong with you, man? I've just been changed on the inside. The Lord's touched me. The Lord has blessed me. I've had an encounter. I've had an experience. I've been elevated, and I want you to have what I have. I want you to know him like I know him. You go to the very people that you used to participate in stupid stuff with. And say, if you're looking for a miracle, look at me. I am the evidence of a changed life. Whew, all for Jesus. I'm done. I'm done. All for Jesus. Good Lord, I ain't fighting y'all. All for Jesus. Let's get back to God. Time to get back to God, church. You may not hear my voice again, but the last thing you hear your pastor tell you, you better get back to God. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what the end of this day holds. And if I be a man of God, it's going to come up sooner or later in y'all life. You better get back to God. Somebody's gotten too far in the house. You've gotten too far away from him. He says today, have an upward reverence. We've forgotten, y'all. We've forgotten about who God is. We've forgotten. We have very little reverence. That's why anything goes now. Anything goes. Anything goes. No regard, no reverence. No respect, anything goes. God understand. He says to us today, change your viewpoint, look at me. That'll bring about the inward change you're looking for. Now, God says to you, those of you ambitious believers, I'm not sending you. I'm not going to commission you until I can cleanse you. You're not going to skip steps because you're talented. If you're anointed, you're going to go through the same process everybody else got to go through. You will submit to my process of cleansing. Because I know what your mouth say, but your heart is far from me. And you can't, oh, help me, Lord. We got to stop trying to con God. Don't you know God knows your heart? I don't care how dutiful you look, how pious.